Well, I certainly stand in need of your prayers today as I try to share with you the thoughts that the Lord has given me. I want to call your I want to begin reading with verse 24 and read through the remainder of the chapter. Before I read, I want to just say briefly in summary that as I read today about the Apostle Paul and his meeting here with Felix, I'm not going to try to go into the details concerning how this came to pass, concerning the events that led up to him being here before this governor. But I do want to encourage everybody to read that and to study that yourself, beginning with the 21st chapter of Acts, concerning Paul's arrest there at the temple in Jerusalem, and the events that led up to what I'm about to read about today, because it really is interesting, all the things that took place before what I'm going to read about happened. So in Acts chapter 24, beginning with verse 24, it says, "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, she sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.' He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound." And that concludes the 24th chapter of the book of Acts. And I'm going to use this for a title today. Kind of a strange title, I know, but it conveys the thought that I want to bring before you today. So I'm going to use for these words for a title, "O Foolish Felix." And I believe that's certainly what he was here. He was very, very foolish. Felix was a Roman governor. I don't really know how long he held that position, but I do know that it was for several years, because if you go a little bit prior to, in the 24th chapter of Acts, a little bit prior to where I begin to read in the 10th verse, the Apostle Paul said this to Felix. He said, "For as much as I know that thou hast been of many years a judge unto this nation." And so he obviously had held this position for quite a few years. And I don't know, I mean, I have read things, you know, concerning the history of this time. I don't know what all faced Felix from day to day. I know that oftentimes people in prominent political position, they would have a lot to do. They would have a lot to deal with. And no doubt Felix in his position had a lot of things to deal with. And I'm confident that from day to day that he had many decisions that had to be made. He had many different things that he had to deal with. And I don't really think that there was much about the way that he did his job and served as a governor that was done in a righteous way. I believe he was perhaps, from what I have read, a wicked type of person. But I know the choice that he made in these scriptures that I have read to you about, the choice that he made here, the decision he made here, was no doubt the worst one he had ever made. And it tells us that when Felix came with his wife, the Bible tells us that he sent for Paul. Paul had been, it had been some time since Paul had been apprehended. He had been a prisoner for a while, and they had found out, he probably would have already been killed by the Jews had he not told them that he was a Roman citizen. And the chief captain became afraid of dealing with him in the wrong way. And so he came to this meeting here with Felix, and Felix sent for him, and he heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And the Bible tells us here basically what Paul spoke to him about. Doesn't give us great detail. I'm sure that there's many words that the Apostle Paul spoke to him that we don't have recorded here. But it gives us an overview, a summary, and it tells us that Paul reasoned with this man of righteousness, of temperance, and of the judgment that was to come. And it tells us here that when he did this, Felix sent for Paul. He heard him concerning the faith in Christ. He heard the gospel. And the Apostle Paul told him the truth. He didn't hold back for fear or favor of the position that this man held. I believe he told him the truth. I believe he told him that he was going to stand before God one day in his righteous day of judgment. And the Bible tells us here how this affected Felix. It says that he trembled. Felix trembled. Now, I don't really know how this affected him as far as physically. I don't know if what we're being told here in the Bible, the word trembled here means that he became terrified. When the Apostle Paul spoke to him concerning the things that he did, Felix became terrified. I don't know if this caused his body to literally physically tremble. Perhaps it did, but I know what I am convinced of, that it really tore him up in his heart, that he became terrified in his soul, that it was really affecting him in the inward man. And I also want to say this, that I don't believe that he was afraid of Paul. I don't believe that his trembling and his fear came from Paul. I believe the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with this man. I believe that he was under conviction when the Apostle Paul reasoned with him and shared with him the things that he did, especially I believe when Paul talked to him about the judgment that was to come, that the Lord dealt with this man, and it caused him to become very terrified of his condition. It caused him to become afraid in his soul, and the Bible says that Felix trembled. Now, this man had a great opportunity before him. And if you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to think about this. This man had a wonderful opportunity. He had heard the truth from one of God's called men. he had had the Apostle Paul come to him, and Paul shared with him the gospel, and the Holy Spirit was obviously dealing with his heart. He was obviously convicted of his sin to the point that he was very afraid. Now, you know, I remember when I was lost. I remember that I was afraid. I remember that I had fear. I was afraid concerning the condition that I was in. I had fear in my heart that I was not right in the eyes of a holy God, that I didn't have a right relationship with God, that I was on my way to eternal damnation, that I was on my way to eternal fire, eternal torment. I had great fear. In fact, in my soul, I was terrified. I understand what is being said here when the Bible says that Felix trembled. And I want to tell you this. I really believe, and I think all of you have heard me say this enough to know this, I believe that that's one of the most dangerous things concerning the watered-down gospel and the untrue plan of salvation that many people are presenting to people today, and that is that they take the work of the Holy Spirit out of it. They tell people that all they have to do is just to decide to be a Christian, and they can be a Christian. But friends, that's not scriptural, and that's not how it works. Salvation is not of men. Salvation is of the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God convicts us of our sins, and he shows us where we stand with him, and the Holy Spirit of God draws us to the Lord. And you know, Jesus told us that if that did not happen, then we wouldn't be able to be saved. We can't come to him. Jesus said, no man can come unto me unless the Father which has sent me draw him. And so, you know, a person, and we're all sinners, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and it's our nature to love sin. The Bible tells us in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, it says, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And so none of us on our own will truly come to the Lord. Amen. Because we love sin. It's our nature to love the darkness rather than the light. And so in order for us to come to the Lord has to draw us. He has to deal with us because on our own, we're not going to change. And so I believe that all of the necessary elements were present with Felix. He had heard the truth. It had obviously had a great effect upon him. And yet he made this foolish decision. He made this very foolish choice to just push it away and to not deal properly with it. You know, sometimes it seems like, and I suppose that this really shows us something about the depravity of man, but sometimes it seems like that when the gospel is preached and the Holy Spirit of God has taken that truth into somebody's heart and that is having its effect upon them, sometimes it seems that people have a tendency to push that away as if the Lord was trying to do harm to us. But listen, I want you to know something. God, now, you know, he made me feel miserable. The Lord made me feel miserable. When he convicted me of my sins, he made me feel miserable, but it wasn't to my detriment. He was doing that for my good. And I want to share some scripture with you concerning that. In the second chapter of Paul's writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 2, I want to read the first five verses. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself, for thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Now listen to this verse. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? Listen, if God is dealing with your heart, that's where he wants to take you. That's where he's leading you. He is leading you to repentance. And that's a good thing. That's a wonderful thing, because you're going to have to repent in order to be saved. God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And so God dealing with you and leading you to repentance is not something to be shunned. It's not something to be pushed away, because the Lord is wanting to do you good. In that fifth verse that I wanted to read, it says, but after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Now, the Lord was dealing with Felix here for the same purpose that he would deal with anybody in this situation. He was dealing with him that he might lead him to repentance, that he might be saved by God's grace. Now, what Felix did was, that he made a very foolish decision. And what he did was, rather than turn to the Lord, rather than seek the Lord, rather than let the Holy Spirit have his way with him, what he did was he said to Paul, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. And listen, it wasn't, the important thing was not that it was Paul that he was rejecting, but he was pushing the Lord away. When I have a convenient season, I will deal with this. Now, I don't really know for certain why Felix said that, why he said what he did. Perhaps he was reflecting upon the position that he was in. Perhaps he thought, well, you know, being a Roman governor, you know, maybe a conversion like this might not be a convenient thing for me to seek after for the office that I'm in. Perhaps he was just thinking, well, you know, I've got other things to do. I've got my work as a governor to do. I don't know exactly what it was that was distracting him, but you know, I wonder how many times in the history of humanity, how many times that there have been people that were just where Felix was at this time, that they had heard the truth of the gospel, that the Holy Spirit of God had come and dealt with their heart and convicted them of their sins, and they allowed something to distract them and to cause them to push God away and reject him. And perhaps many even went on to die without him. You know, if you think about what I have read before you today in this latter part of the 24th chapter of Acts concerning Paul and Felix, this is really a sad story, isn't it? I mean, it really is. This is a sad story, because I don't see how that this man could have had any better opportunity, you know, than he had right there, but yet he just did not want, obviously, anything to do with it. He just didn't think it was convenient for him at that time. He obviously had other things on his mind. And, you know, it's really sad as we go on and we read this to think about a man that had heard the truth, that obviously the Holy Spirit of God was dealing with him. And not only did he reject that, not only did he say, go away, when I have a convenient season, I'll call for you. But he even hoped that he would make financial gain out of this. The Bible tells us he hoped that Paul would give him money. This man was hoping that Paul would perhaps bribe him, that he would offer him money in order to set him free. And for that purpose, the Bible tells us in this that he hoped that money should be given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore, because of that, he obviously continued to hope that that would happen, because it says, wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. And I want you to notice something in this, that this meeting that took place there between Paul and Felix, when Felix told Paul, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call for you. That was not the last time that these two talked. The Bible tells us here that Felix began to call him often and to talk to him and commune with him. But you know what? He wasn't interested in communing with him concerning the things of God. He wasn't interested in talking to him about what he had felt when he felt this great conviction. He was just bringing Paul back more and more often, just hoping that Paul would offer him money in order that he might, that Felix might let him go. Isn't it sad? I mean, isn't that really sad that that would mean more to somebody than the welfare of their eternal soul? Jesus asked the question. You can find it recorded in the 8th chapter of Mark. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If a man were to gain the whole world and lose his own soul, what profit would that be unto him? All the world, and certainly Paul didn't, if Paul would have had money, if you read about the missionary life of Paul, if he would have had money to give to Felix, I can't imagine that it would have been very much anyway. But that was more important to him, to call this man of God back to him time and time again, you know, hoping that money might be offered to him. And I want you to notice something in this. The Bible, as it tells us how that Felix would confer with him and would commune with him after this point, the Bible doesn't tell us anymore. It doesn't tell us of another time that Felix felt what he was feeling when the Apostle Paul opened up the Word of God to him. I believe he hardened his heart against God. Let me tell you something, lost friend, the last thing you want to do is harden your heart against God. He's not out to do you harm. He wants to do you good. God wants to save everybody. You know, the Bible tells us in this same book, in two other places in the book of Acts, the Bible tells us about other men that trembled at the Lord, that trembled before the Lord, but their reaction to that was just the opposite of what Felix had. If you read the 9th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where Luke was giving the account of Paul's conversion there on the road to Damascus, I guess you would say at that time of Saul's conversion, on the road to Damascus, how that the Lord came to him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul responded to him and said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus, It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And when that took place in the ninth chapter of Acts in verse 6, the Bible tells us that Paul, trembling and astonished, trembling and astonished, just like the Bible says about Felix that he trembled. The Bible tells us that Saul was trembling and astonished, and he said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" You see, Saul didn't say, "Lord, go away. When I have a convenient time, I'll call for you." He responded in just the opposite way that Felix did. He said, "Lord, what is it that you would have me to do?" The Bible tells us in the 16th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul and Silas were in prison, and the Philippian jailer was watching them, and the Lord sent a great earthquake, and their chains fell off, and they were loose. And the jailer, being afraid that he had failed in his job, he took a sword and was going to take his own life. Until Paul spoke up and said, "Don't harm yourself. We're all here." And when that man witnessed what he did, the Bible says he came in trembling. He called for a light, and he came in trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas. And he didn't say, "Go away." He didn't say, "Lord, go away. Stop dealing with me." He said, "What must I do to be saved?" Listen, how you react to this, when the truth gets to you, when the Holy Spirit of God gets to you, how you react to that is going to determine what you're going to, how you're going to spend and where you're going to spend eternity. Listen, you need to react the way that the Philippian jailer did. When God deals with your heart, don't say, "Go away from me." You know, look to the Lord for the salvation of your soul. That's what you need to do. It won't do you any good. You know, people can get, and listen, I know this to be true. I was lost one time. You can get all sorts of things in your mind, especially, I believe, when you're young. The devil, he'll try to convince you that if you get saved, that you're not going to be popular at school anymore. You know, if you become a Christian, you're not going to be with, not going to be able to hang out with your popular friends anymore, that you know, you won't be able to be famous, you won't be able to be popular. The devil will tell you every lie that he can to keep you away from the Lord. But listen, there's nothing about this temporal world. There's no fame, there's no fortune, there's no pride, there's no popularity, there's no money, there's nothing in this temporal world that will ever take the place of your eternal soul. Nothing. Felix made a foolish choice. Everybody that pushes God away makes a foolish choice. It's not to, you know, you just go on over a couple more chapters in this book and we read about another man. We read about a king named Agrippa that made a foolish choice. The Apostle Paul told his experience of salvation to Agrippa. He told him what happened there on the road to Damascus. He told him how that the Lord had appeared to him, how that the Lord had called him, had saved him and had called him into the ministry. He shared all this personal stuff with Agrippa there about what the Lord had done for him. Agrippa said, and Paul even said to him, "Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you believe them. I know that you believe what you're being told." And Agrippa said, and can't you just kind of visualize? "Oh, you almost got me. Almost.
almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. You know what? I don't believe there real. Honestly, I don't believe there is any almost. I believe you either are or you aren't. You either are or you aren't. Agrippa might have thought that he was close to something, but there's no close. You either are or you're not. I'd like for us to have a song, Brother Ernie. You know, best thing that ever happened to me was when the Lord saved me. And the best thing that ever could ever happen to you is for the Lord to save you. And you will not profit. Believe me, you will not profit by rejecting the Lord. You will not profit by pushing him away. I'm going to tell you what I believe, because I don't have any scriptural reason to believe anything other than this. I believe Felix died lost. I believe this man died without the Lord. I just believe that if he would have got saved, we would have been given an account of it. I believe that he just pushed away the opportunity that he had for salvation. He just rejected it. Go away. Later on, if I feel like it's convenient for me, then I'll call for you. Maybe we'll talk more about this. But we don't have any record in the scriptures of that time ever coming for him. And listen, you may convince yourself, and you may let the devil convince you, that there will be a better time for you to be saved. That's dangerous. I mean, that is, listen, you don't want to do that. You want to, the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. And don't make the foolish choice that Felix made. Turn to the Lord and seek him, that you might be saved, while we stand and sing.
32. Jesus the Savior died for the lost. With his own blood he paid the cost. Purchased my pardon, now I'm free. Victory was won at Calvary.
If you're here today and you're lost, I invite you to come and pray.
Victory was won at Calvary.
Come and pray. Come and seek the Lord. Come and call upon the name of Jesus. He wants to save you today. He wants to give you eternal life.